Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron. Remember, I told you, oh, the fan's still on. Can you go shut off the fan, please, sweetheart?
Oh, it doesn't have the clapper.
It's not plugged into the clapper.
Sorry.
You remember that old lady in the end of the commercial? She was in bed?
Oh, yeah.
And like
she
that?
She had the weirdest looking hands.
Yeah, she was like, people used to make dolls out of dried apples. Dehydrated apple doll. That's what she looked like.
I wonder if she was also the fallen can't get up lady.
Wow.
You know what I'm talking about?
I just want to move on.
I've fallen, but I can't get up.
I just want
that?
To move on.
All right. Sorry.
Susan McNeil has performed beside some of North America's top artists like Stephen Tealer? Is
yep.
it Tealer?
Yeah, he was with a band called Aerosmith.
Aerosmith?
Smythe, yes. They were a cover band.
Oh, man. That is one seriously knock-kneed dude.
Apparently he...
Did he have an injury?
I don't know if he was that before. I remember he's messed up his feet. The way he moves on stage, apparently he wrecked his feet because he does this toe
doing the wobble.
Yeah, apparently he had
doing the Axl Rose wobble. Who's also in a wheelchair. Anyway, Alan Freed, Jeff Healey, Jeff. Well, man, that's a loss, man.
Big
I said man twice. Jeff Healey, I had his
wife
widow yeah, on the show, yeah. Christy Healey, and what a sweetheart she is, and we had some great memories of Jeff. Anyway, Pink, I'd like to know a little bit more about her. Remember Humboldt had a great story about interviewing Pink?
Yes.
That was
Alicia
funny.
Is her real name, Alicia.
NXS, Scott Whelan. I mean, the link. I don't want to go.
Scott Whelan, that's another
I
big one.
I don't want to go through this bio because we could be here forever and then we won't actually get to know. Susie McNeil, Juno-nominated recording artist, contestant on Rockstar NXS, founding member of the Loving Mary Band, who backed Stephen Tallon, Gretchen Wilson, a bunch of other people. She is a freak show and she's Canadian. Hello, Susie McNeil.
Hello, let the freak show begin.
Hey, did your car, I don't know, does CAA cover in Nashville? Does it help you down there? Well, are you up here or down there? Where the heck are you?
I'm in Canada, and that's why my car died, because the weather is like, doesn't know what it is.
The weather doesn't know what it is.
So obviously you're not driving a smart car.
No.
No, almost. I have a Prius, so the battery always dies in a Prius.
Ooh. Well,
it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Good luck with that sponsorship.
Yeah.
I know. I wouldn't buy another one. No offense, Toyota.
So, Susie McNeil, first of all, I want to get everyone to go to the website. S-U-Z, as how we say it up here. S-U-Z-I-E, McNeil, MCNEIL.com.
Yeah.
Susie, first thing I need to say to you is, did you just produce offspring?
I did.
Her voice just went up like 12 decibels there.
Yes, I did. It was the best project I've been able to be a part of.
Well done. Golf clap for Susie McNeil producing Offspring.
Is there a remix in the work?
A remix.
The best album I've ever produced.
What did you breed?
A little boy.
A little boy.
Little boy. Yeah, we were at some... We go to this, like, afternoon pub. I don't know if anyone knows Tommy Swick. He won a Juno one year. Anyway, he's from, like, Hamilton.
Yeah.
So he was playing, and they got me up to sing a song, and the baby came up on stage with me. So he was...
Hold on, you delivered the baby while you were singing the song?
No,
he's a year old. Oh, okay.
But this was last night. So he got his first taste. Like, we haven't really brought him, like, to many shows, because we're usually working, so it's like... don't bring your baby to work kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I dig it.
But he loved it. So he just got his first taste of the stage last night.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Aside from lack of sleep and questioning your sanity from this point forward,
yes.
How else has having a child impacted you?
Oh, it's amazing. Like so when I got pregnant, I wanted to get pregnant, but then, you know, I'd play in that Nashville band, like with Steven and stuff, with my husband. So I was like, how are we going to do this? And I started freaking out. I was like, I love my life. And it's funny, my husband was like the words of wisdom, the level-headed guy he is. He was like, we're going to make it work. So he was born and we were both home, like, because it was the low season of music. And then suddenly we get a tour with Steven that hits like Europe and like all across the U.S. and we have the baby. So we brought him along with us.
Good.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. Well, I see a lot of people on my flights to L.A. that have little dogs in little bags, so you could probably bring the child, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny, like, obviously I'm learning as I go, but if we had gone with him this age, I think it would have been a lot harder, because he was kind of just that, like, lying there, nursing, like, he couldn't move. Now he's like, go, go, go.
All right, what part of your year is spent in Nashville?
Well, since we've had the baby, we've been there a little less because our family's here and we have a bigger place here and stuff. But we were just there last week. We love Nashville. It's like such a growing, crazy, like there's like 100 people moving there a day. It's crazy there. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I just
lots of bachelorette parties.
I have a friend who just moved there.
Okay.
Kathy Lee Gifford just has a place down there now.
Is she your friend?
I'm not sure she admits that, but...
she does when she's on air with us.
As a matter of fact, I had her on the show not too long ago, and I told everyone that she got a place in Nashville, and she said, oh, well, that wasn't public information until now.
Love her.
Yeah.
Had no state taxes there. It's pretty good.
You do have ADD because are you pop? Are you rock? Are you country? Are you R&B?
Yeah.
You know? Are you polka?
I have musical schizophrenia.
Musical schizophrenia. I like that.
Yeah, no, I knew, like, from when I started doing music, I made a promise to myself when I was young, like, after I graduated high school and dropped out of college. I was like, I want to sing for a living, and I don't care in what capacity. I just want to sing. And then I did ever since. So it has brought me down a bunch of different paths, for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hearken back, okay? Hearken back. I don't know who talks like that anymore, but hearken back to seventh grade, Les Mis. How did you know? And was that legit the trigger? Was that the moment where you went, yep, mm-hmm,
we're going back.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I grew up, my mom's a singer. Like, she's in a bunch of choirs. My sister's a singer. So my mom would sing with my sister and I, like, make us sing as kids because she wanted someone to sing with because she loved, like, harmonizing and stuff. But little did I know, and probably little did she know, she was just totally teaching us how to sing. So my sister's a high school music teacher. Like, we all got into it in some capacity, but I don't know. I had that, like, I always wanted, like, when we had to sing together, the three girls, I always wanted lead and I'd always put on, like, shows in my bedroom for my family. I just always had it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're kind of a big deal now because people will say, hey, who's on your show this Saturday, Drew? And I mentioned that I've got a very, like, one of the wealthiest, most powerful women in the world. She's vice president of Apple. She's on the show today. I've got a bunch of other people I listed, you know, their names, and then I said your name, and I had like two girls go woohoo in my face.
Oh.
Woohoo.
Oh, woohoo.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
reaction ever.
Because you're such a big deal now, you might need, and all Canadians need this when they hit big time, you may need to just take a quick trip back up this way. Get in the car with your sister and your mom, drive to the cottage, and sing three-part harmonies, and that'll ground you.
Yes, old time.
Yeah.
I love it.
So one of your big hits was Believe, but apparently you sucked at believing in yourself. True story?
Yeah, at that time, for sure. I still do. I think everyone has to remind themselves that you rock. Mm-hmm. You know, you lose when life gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I pretty much tried to believe in myself since I released the song Believe.
Yeah. So who is your biggest cheerleader, like real cheerleader, not just a Facebook friend that says positive stuff because they're supposed to, but a real cheerleader who will also point out your skid marks as well? Do you have someone in your life like that?
Not really, because everyone, I mean, I guess my husband, because we're around each other so much, but everyone in my family is pretty polite, so that's good.
So Canadian.
Yeah, right? We're just very supportive and loving and polite. And then I have some great fans, too. Like, I would have to call them out. Just, you know, been with me since the beginning. I mean, those are the tried, tested, and true fans. So that I appreciate them very much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about your connection to World Vision, why you give a holy grunt about those people over there, because most of us don't. And I know you've been on an exposure tour, I don't know, advocacy tour, whatever the thing is, where they fly over somewhere. Like, this happened to me with an organization. They flew me to Nicaragua, and I was walking around the dump outside of Managua, and it was just filthy hot, and it was gross and stinky. And then all of a sudden, the most beautiful little girl I have ever seen in my life, aside from my own daughter, was walking barefoot through this dump, rolling over the skull of a dead animal, trying to find meat. Like, it was just, it blew me away, right? I watched a scorpion crawl over the foot of one of the other children. Like, it was just burned in. So, we all believe that health is a fundamental right, but barriers such as lack of resources or limited decision-making power can prevent families from getting the care they need. Imagine not having access to a doctor where and when you need it most. You want to join this young lady who we're chatting with right now, the one and only Susie McNeil. No, she's not part of the Bear McNeils, although that's been brought up, I'm sure, with her many times. Or Rita.
Rita.
Yeah, Rita. I want to talk about Rita in a second. But anyway, February 11th at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Markham, Ontario, Minister Jane Philpott and Dr. Terry LeBlanc will be discussing the most pressing health issues in Canada and around the world. And there will be a special musical performance from Susie McNeil. She's going to come out with a kazoo.
Ah!
Head to World Vision Canada's Facebook page to register for this free event. And remember, everybody deserves access to quality health systems. Okay, Susie.
Yeah.
Why do you care? Because so much of us don't. Seriously, what's the motivation? Did you grow up in a nice family who taught you to care about others? Did you have like a moment where you realized you were just a selfish jerk and you needed to fix that? What was it?
I think I probably grew up in a caring family. We always sponsored a child through World Vision, so it was just always in my radar. I've been involved with them for years. Like you said, and we went to Zambia and showed me the work that they're doing. I think it's just like experiences like that that gets you and hooks you. And then it just really affected me. Like, I wrote a song about my experience there, and I've given all the proceeds to World Vision through the years. And I got to sponsor like the little girl that I met in Zambia. Mm. And I've worked with World Vision for years. I just think that it's, you know, so little amount of money, quite frankly, per month, but it just goes so far. Like, when I met I met a family that World Vision was helping, and then one that they haven't helped. They kind of show you like both sides of the reality.
Mm.
Yeah, like there was a translator, and I was like, when's the last time you guys ate? And it was like, a couple of days ago. And I was like, well, what do you eat? And they showed me these little like weeds on this dirt ground. Like, it's just awful. And you know what? I think that helping others just makes us feel good, because it's like so easy, especially nowadays, to get just so self-absorbed.
Mm.
And the more you
exactly.
get into yourself and you know, down that rabbit hole. Sometimes the worse it feels. It feels good to just not think about yourself for a minute, you know.
You know, I've thought this through. Like, I've struggled with, how do I say this concisely without boring everybody who's heard it 37 times? I spent 30 years as a very certain believer. Like, I was super Jesus guy. I made Kirk Cameron look like Satan. Okay, that's how amazing I was. And then now I'm struggling, right? Like, what I'm realizing is that doubt is more compatible with faith than certainty. So is there a God? Is there not a God? I don't know. But then what I'm trying to get to here, Susie, is I used to have a kid on my fridge. You know what I mean, right? The sponsor kid, the picture. I used to have a kid on my fridge because I thought that's what God people should do. And now I'm finding out there's a lot of people out there that don't have any connection with God stuff that have kids on their fridges.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It really kind of screws with my head. But what I do, I don't know. Is there a question here, Drew, at all, anywhere? My point behind all this is you're a creative. So you have this uber creative side to you. And every creative person I've ever interviewed on my show has some kind of spiritual awareness. Whether they subscribe to a certain belief system or a tribe or whatever, I don't know, nor do I care. But they have a spiritual awareness. Do you think that's true of you?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, my mom married a minister when she remarried. I was young. So I went to church every Sunday. I learned how to sing in the choir. Like, that's always been a part of my life. Huh. But as far as, like, World Vision is a Christian organization, but it doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's all coming from such a great place. Like, the money is genuinely going to these people, and it just, you know, it couldn't be more of a, there's no trick, you know?
Yep.
It couldn't be more of a beautiful thing, so...
Really well said.
The song that I wrote for them, or that I wrote when I was there, that inspired me it's very simple. It's that we are. I was thinking about the word alone, and if you add an L to it, it becomes all one, which we are. We're all one, and that's the idea. We need to help each other because we are all connected. Well, on this planet somehow. So
Susie McNeil is working with humanitarian organization World Vision to promote the sponsorship of children in underprivileged nations like Africa, where she personally visited back in 2008. And she has written this song about her experience called All One. And all sale proceeds, is that still a happening thing of the song, are going to World Vision?
Yes, yeah. So I just, like, because I asked them back in the day, can I just, like, give you guys money?
And what did they say?
They said yes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But I didn't know if it had to, like, go through the sponsoring circuit or whatever. Yeah, but yeah, you can. You can just write a check, a random check to World Vision if you feel like it.
Nice. Well, you can join Susie. Susie McNeil on February 11th at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Markham for a community conversation, a free community conversation with the Honorable Jane Philpott, MP Markham Stouffville, and Dr. Terry LeBlanc and Dr. Farah Aman. I'm sure I didn't pronounce that right at all, as they discuss the most pressing needs in Canada's Indigenous communities and communities around the world. So if you have just all of a sudden realized in the course of this conversation that you are a selfish jerk like Susie and I used to be, then you may want to altruistically show up at this place, at this event, at this February 11th thing at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Markham. Go to World Vision's World Vision Canada's Facebook page, find out about the events, register for it, because they kind of need to know how many humans, how many donuts to put out, you know, stuff like that. Susie, what's around the corner? Just before we say goodbye, I know you're driving. I don't want to know what's around the corner. I want to know career-wise, what's around the corner?
It's the Ontario grass, plains of Ontario. A lot of things, actually. I have a new soul project that I'm putting out. I have a song, like a new single that's coming out. I haven't said this to anyone yet, so this is exclusive. But I might be joining Aerosmith on their Vegas residency this year. So there's a lot of things that are in the works.
Wow. Well, we've just broken the Vegas rule.
Susie's got a gun.
Susie's got a gun, really?
Well, Jamie's got a gun.
Okay.
That's a song of
yeah.
Those.
Well, that's some pretty cool stuff. You must be stoked.
Yeah. There's a lot of. I think whatever year it is, 2019, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's gonna be a good one.
Yeah. Maybe you could get Britney to babysit.
I know. Or Lady Gaga. Yeah.
Or Celine.
All my buds are there.
No, because Britney's done down there, isn't she? Is she still?
Is she ever done down there?
Oh, well said. Yeah. Well said.
It keeps going and going.
Susie, you are actually quite a pleasant human being. I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to sound surprised.
As are you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And I'm not surprised either.
Oh, thanks. SusieMcNeil.com. Follow her. Creep on her. Don't try to find out where she lives. Not that kind. I mean, social media, buy her stuff, and go to this event. And you're going to do a shake and howdy there, aren't you? Winona Judd taught me that phrase. A shake and howdy? You're going to meet the peeps?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's going to be a good night.
Thank you, Susie McNeil.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
She's a good girl, eh? Good Canadian kid.
Good Canadian kid.